The Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up. Seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we've got Will Meadows,
Sarah Meadows,
Kevin Delp,
Melissa Delp,
Katie Pills,
and Ryan Pills
in the house.
Thank you guys for covering for me. I just made it back from another meeting that I was at. I also want to express my sincere appreciation for that cheesecake slice that you all saved me. Even if it was only a half a slice.
They saved me a slice too.
There's actually an entire extra slice in the fridge.
What?
Yeah.
Oh. Is that for me or is that something else?
So you ate the one that
was supposed to be for you.
Oh, right.
You ate the mangled one that Xander
ate. It was definitely less beautiful than I thought it was going to be.
I got back and I'm like, there's two pieces in the fridge. Oh, one's for Will.
Yeah, thank you. So what are we looking at?
Anyway, today we are talking about four games coming to Kickstarter the week of November 13th, 2017.
Woohoo! Yeah, and we've got an interview coming up later with Kirk from Peacekeeper Games, so we'll jump into that pretty soon. But before we do that, I think we need to wrap up the Stonemaier auction,
because that's cool and exciting. Yeah, I gotta tell people about that.
So we're like a week off from when it actually closed. Live stuff just isn't as exciting, but we're all still pretty stoked about it.
My adrenaline was pumping yesterday.
Oh man, I know. I got on the Board Game Geek site to check it out at like probably like 2 hours before final closing time, and I was like, we're only down by like 7 thumbs up. We can pull this off. So I started like calling in favors, like people.
Nail biter.
It was crazy. It was a close watch. It was crazy because it was like we get one, then somebody else would get one, and then we get two, and they get two. It was crazy. So, but did we get the official announcement?
We got the official announcement. Jamie emailed us, and he said your item was the one with the most thumbs. So they're sending us a copy. He is sending us a copy of Charterstone.
Yeah. So excited.
I am excited.
And then the cool thing on top of all that is that I think our highest bidder was $600.
Wow.
Is that what?
Yeah, that was really nice.
Yes, which is matched by Jamie at $500. So we will be sending $1,100 to the Ronald McDonald House of the Carolinas.
That's awesome.
I'm very excited about that. Do we have any idea how that works? Like,
he's going to send, I think he'll let us know that it was sent.
Hopefully we'll get a chance to actually present that to him. I'd love to be able to like go in person. I don't really know how it works. Yeah. And just give that to him as part of to help with their fundraiser that they're doing. I think that'd be super
Remind
awesome.
Us of what was the project for that they're working on, their fundraiser?
They are adding an addition to their building, and they are doubling the size of the occupants they can have at the house. So
yeah, that's
we're
awesome.
Very excited to help out with that.
I also got a really cool email from Phil, who was the guy that put the final bid on there. And I talked about this. He said it was cool. I'd love to read the email that he sent because I think that adds a whole nother level of meaning to it. He said, "Hey, Will, I'm very excited and honored to have won your auction. Most of my formative school years were spent in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. So not too far away from us. So I have an emotional attachment to the Carolinas. Woohoo! I also worked and lived in Spartanburg for a couple of years and came to Greenville whenever things got slow up there. But the real reason for my donation is that my mother, who is a breast cancer survivor, it unfortunately came back a few years ago in the form of bone cancer, very slow growing and constantly under check, but still a heavy shroud over our whole family. Hopefully, a little bit of this money will help alleviate someone's suffering by keeping loved ones close by." I thought that was just really, really awesome that people weren't just, they're not just buying the game. Like, they really are excited about the auction, the charity that we're choosing.
That's great.
My grandmother is actually a cancer survivor as well, and it's a huge deal. Like, it's crazy and it's scary, and so our prayers go out to you, Phil, and your family, and super excited that you won this game, and we're very excited to be able to present the auction on your behalf, so thank you for that. One other thing that we are excited about this episode is our sponsor, so let's give a shout out to them.
This episode is sponsored by Peacekeeper Games. They're bringing their game Gearworks to Kickstarter on November 14th. Keep listening to find out how to enter for a chance to win their game Flag Dash.
Ooh.
Yeah, so I think we have a review of Flag Dash somewhere on our YouTube channel.
Just look up YouTube.com and go to Flag Dash Tantrum House and you'll find it.
Yeah, we had that out. I think, I don't know if we played it tonight, but it was on the table. We had a bunch of stuff out. We just had our normal game night tonight as Tantrum House. We played several pretty cool games. What was the one from Simon that we just played?
We played 13 clues.
I was pretty slick. I didn't know.
That's because you won. 13 clues. Is it out in stores yet? I don't know.
I don't believe it
we
is.
We should check on that.
They demoed it at Gen Con.
So it may be available soon. 13 clues by Simon.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. It's like it's a little bit like Hanabi, where you don't get to look at the cards that are in front of you, and then it's a little bit like Clue, where you're trying to figure out like the person, place, or thing. Until you're asking each other questions about the cards that they can
see.
So
there's like a person, place, and thing, or weapon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like the part where everyone has their screens and you don't have to hold onto your cards and try to be like, what cards are what and all that kind of stuff. Like Hanabi, sometimes I get confused.
It is easy to pick up a card the wrong way and be like, ah, right.
Well, that's part of always end up accidentally like leaning to see someone else's cards and
catching a glimpse.
And, yeah, seeing my own cards because I bring them back too
but
far.
But this game, 13 Clues, has each player has their own player screen and three cards get put in front of it, so you don't have to worry about those cards for the whole game.
Right.
I mean, you're trying to figure out what those three cards
are. That's your goal, to figure out what the three are in front of you.
But you have a couple cards that you can see, and you can see everybody else's cards in front of their screen, which I think is, you know, pretty cool part of the game.
Now, we played six players.
We used the
entire deck, which I kind of wonder if that doesn't make it easier. Like,
it actually does not.
No,
because
you don't think so?
Everyone also has hidden cards behind their screen.
Right.
So you'll have
there's
to
a lot of hidden cards.
Yeah,
so
you never will see those.
10 extra cards.
You'll have to deduce from questions on those, and those are much harder to try and figure out. So, another game that we played tonight was a prototype of Root, which is on Kickstarter now,
pretty
and it
hot.
Is doing very well.
Oh man, very well. Good.
Yeah.
By Leader Games, Root by Leader Games.
Leader Games.
Mm-hmm. It's actually blowing my mind how well it's doing. I know it's based on a really popular game and these guys do cool stuff, but like I went to their Board Game Geek page and there are no video reviews. There's like maybe one written review. We got the prototype, and it's a pretty rough prototype. Like, it's not quite video worthy, although we might still put together a video for you guys.
The board looks really cool.
It does.
Yes.
All the artwork and all
the
pictures they have online look amazing.
Yes,
it
the artwork
fantastic.
And components that are coming are going
to
be fantastic. So I'm looking
forward
to
that. So they got some pretty,
that.
Like, Cole Worley. Yep. Is a pretty big name in, but because of the Vast, and people know that, so they're like, "Oh, we're,
it was
we're,
Patrick who."
Oh, and Patrick.
Did,
sorry,
did Vast, not Cole.
Oh, sorry, not Cole. And so Patrick and everyone loved
game,
Vast.
Right.
So this game, everyone's excited about this one. So I think they said it has some of the same
asymmetrical powers for each person.
Yeah, very asymmetrical. Like, I don't even know what you guys were doing on your
turn. Yeah, everybody's goals and objectives and way they earn victory points and even the actions they take from the same cards are completely different.
Yeah. Wow, that's crazy.
So all the rewards, everything is totally how you earn victory points.
I think that's what's intriguing.
Totally different.
Yeah.
So you almost get six different games. They're up to stretch goals now where there's six players. So that's almost six different games if you think about the objectives.
Yeah, it'll be completely different. It does make it a little more difficult when you're learning, though, because it's not like, oh, I'm the third person, I can see how the other two people do their turns, because they're completely different. So you do have to learn
what
you do.
So one power, you might really like one power, but another, like, time you play and you play a different power, you might be like, oh, I don't even like this game because I don't like this type of gameplay. Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, I was just saying that as
possibly.
You're learning.
I haven't played any that I didn't like yet, but there is potential for that because they all feel different.
Although
like,
I think Katie loved playing the Vagabond.
I got to play as a Vagabond character, which is like an add-on. I don't know, like.
What was your character?
Mine was a raccoon character, and I was the only character that could use non-space spaces to move in. I could move through the woods.
She could hide in the woods.
Nobody else could do. And I, like, got to choose alignments of people, like, depending on... I could, like, steal from them and give them a victory point, but take their cards and then make them my enemy. Or I could, like, make them my friend by giving them cards and gaining things from them. So it was kind of this weird, like... I'm, like, constantly trying to, like... I'm almost, like, evening out the playing board the whole time.
Else,
Well, I'm sabotaging people, and it
was
very interesting.
I was watching, and another character was a cat, and they were like, trying to build, like, buildings or something?
I think
it's
a storyline.
The backstory is the Birds of Prey were in charge, the leaders of the forest, and the cats have taken over.
Dirty
and so
cats.
They're trying to keep...
keep the dominion over the forest, okay, and just trying to build more stuff.
That one seemed a little bit simpler of a role. I don't know if
it
I
was, did. But it's very difficult to master.
So the cats are trying to like keep control. Then you have the raccoons coming in. What were you, Sarah?
Well, I taught the game we played tonight, but in the past I've played all the roles but the vagabond.
Okay.
So the role Melissa played was the Woodland Alliance. Do you want to talk about that?
So I started off with only like one cube, one person on the board.
Is it the fox?
Yes,
okay,
the
I
fox.
Think I played that last night.
And then there's all of these cats everywhere. And then throughout the game, the hawks, the birds are building up. And I have like this one little person.
Were you, what color were you? Green?
Green.
Oh man, when I came in, your green was all over the place.
But I have these like underground alliance of woodland creatures, kind of like Robin Hood and his merry men.
That's cool.
Instead of them being out on the board, I can kind of manipulate how I use them. So it's very surprising, like, depending on the cards in my hand and how many, you know, bunnies I have, or little chipmunks, or
mice, and
I have these little cubes that I can use in different ways to try to score points. It was definitely, it took me probably about halfway into the game for it to click, light bulb went on, and I'm like, oh, this is what I can do with this character. Because at first I was a little discouraged because I'm like, I can't do anything.
Yeah.
But
I was
then,
like way in last place. And then all of a sudden, like, what's the thing at the top? The, what are those called? The refinements or something?
Yeah, being
you
able to
score,
craft
yeah,
and
you
getting
score
your strongholds,
extra victory points
yeah.
for that. And I was like, boom, 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 like quick catching up quick. But
So yeah, it's definitely, you know, a game you're going to have to play over and over again and try different characters, alliances, because they all do different things depending on what you're doing. But yeah. I was intrigued.
So Kyle Farron is the artist, the illustrator, and he did Vast, and he is also doing Root.
It's cool looking. It's a very cool looking game.
Like, yeah. all around, really fits well, the board and the characters. I really like that part of it. I haven't played it yet.
Yeah, there was some downtime, so you have to have some patience, especially in a learning game, as people are learning what their characters do.
A learning game with Prototype.
Right.
Yes.
What does this mean?
That's cool. But it's doing really well on Kickstarter. There'll still be, I think, at least a week left, so check out Root. We had an interview with the guys from Leader Games a week or two
Patrick
ago.
Patrick and Kyle, or Cole.
Yeah, so check that out if you weren't able to listen to that episode yet. And we're going to move into our Kickstarter conniption, Will?
Yeah, let's do it.
Kickstarter conniption!
All right, Kevin, why don't you start us off?
Yeah, I want to talk about Gearworks. You heard that our sponsor is Peacekeeper Games for the episode, and Gearworks is coming to Kickstarter November 14th. We actually have a prototype copy of this game. We were able to play with lots of friends and with you guys, and it is a numbers game, I would say. Think about, like, Sudoku a little bit. It's got a little Sudoku. It's got a little bit different math going on, subtraction and adding. What you're doing is you have numbered cards in your hand, and you're trying to place them in a grid in the play area, and you're trying to collect sparks, but in essence, you're also trying to make have control over the columns and the rows.
And the rows, yeah.
And the rows. Keep control over certain columns and rows because those columns and rows have different parts in them. And those parts will help you complete contraptions. And that's the goal of the game, is to complete your contraptions because you have really cool ones. I know people are like chomping at the bit that talking about the contraptions. But you have these different cool steampunk contraptions that you're trying to complete. And then whoever has the most points at the end of the game wins. The cool part is, though,
the theme.
I'm sorry to say, it's a Pacedon theme.
No,
but, yes, it is.
Steampunk is always the winner.
But the sort of like the meat of the game is laying these numbered cards in the rows and the columns, because what you're trying to do is get these sparks, which are going to help you later in the game. And how to get a spark is you're trying to add or subtract the cards that are surrounding it. So if I'm trying to lay a 5, I'm looking for like a 3 and a 2 and place that there. So 3 plus 2 is 5. And
this is probably really hard to understand.
I know. I would say, I'm sure our listeners are very
confused. Just watch our video.
Yeah, that's going to be the trick.
Review.
Kevin was like laying out the 3 and the 2 in outer space, which made sense.
It's really cool.
But to just listen, I was like, nobody's
just
getting
think,
it.
Just think of a grid, columns and rows.
The Sudoku, where it's like 1 through 5 across and 1 through 5
yeah.
down.
Yeah. And you're laying these cards down to basically get the sparks, but
It's cool. It's got some cool mechanics.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's kind of exciting when you're laying your cards and you're getting control and you think you're gonna get the two parts that you need for your contraption, and then someone else like Katie or Kevin like swoops in and lays in that same column or row and then takes control from you, uh-huh. and you're like, ah, what am I gonna do? Is there any way that I can get control back? So throughout the game, that control is constantly switching.
Constantly.
And whoever has control at the end of the round is the one who actually gets the part.
I was gonna say, eventually you run out of actions and cards and there's literally nothing you can do and you're just stuck with whatever you've got left.
Sorry. Yep.
with what you've claimed.
Right.
And so that really, you know, changes the game up. Right. Is like, how are you spending your actions? Are mm-hmm. you waiting? Are you trying to get the last? You know, like, are you trying to...
That was the interesting thing. I was like, do I get the spark now because I can? I want this column and row at the end of the game. Mm-hmm. I'm so early
But if
in,
I play
like,
it right now, right. I can get a spark.
Right.
Yeah.
There's no chance it's going to hold it to the end of the game. So.
Yeah.
No.
There's some very
tension,
interesting...
A lot of choices.
Lots of choices. Strategic gameplay, because you can lay cards on top of cards. There's certain ways of doing that. There's ways to like sort of like make players not play cards, because you can make how the cards go in the rows or the column, or basically
very
the rows.
Limited
your options.
Because
it's like ascending order and stuff like that. So I think there's some really cool stuff with this. And there's a cool play mat, which we'll talk about, I think, later. So I won't go into that. But the contraptions are pretty cool. With mm-hmm. a different, like the art style.
Yeah.
I like the.
It's kind of got that, like Da Vinci hand drawn thing going on.
Well, he created very interesting inventions, and that's what it is based off of. So it's very cool.
Well, it's a 2-4 player game. It plays in about 30-ish minutes, so pretty quick. And check that out soon, but I'm going to throw it over to Melissa.
All right, I am talking about Museum by Holy Grail Games. It's coming to Kickstarter on November 17th, and this company has done two other successful Kickstarters. They did Outlaw Last Man Standing and Rising 5 Runes
Ooh,
of Astaroth.
I remember that one on Kickstarter.
Yeah, I think you saw it because of the artist for that one.
Vincent, he's my favorite.
So Rising 5 had Vincent Dutray, and this game Museum also uses Vincent Dutray.
He's got like
the
they've
artist.
Got an in with him.
Yes. And so the theme of the game is that you are a museum curator and you are trying to gain fame and fortune by getting the most impressive and extensive displays for your museum gallery. It's kind of set in the 1900s, so it's the golden age of museums, you know, when people are traveling all over the world to find exotic pieces. It has a set collection aspect of it. You're trying to collect these artifacts and they're worth a certain amount of points. But if you put them together in collections, you can get more points. So there are rules about which ones stack together. It also has a little bit of a mechanic similar to Race for the Galaxy, where you have the cards in your hand and you have to pay for the artifacts you want to put down by discarding other cards were already in your hand.
It's
so you have to make
choice.
Those hard choices of what to actually keep and what to discard, and it sounds like other players might be able to go through that discard and steal those cards. So you're making those choices of what you actually want to put in. It has a lot. I haven't actually played it. I've just looked at their page as they're describing it, but they have headline cards, which are like events. Notoriety cards are one-time bonuses. You can hire personnel to help with completing your collections or actions, even wealthy patrons. Those sound like they might be end goals that you're trying to complete their requests to get extra points. And then one of the things they brought out on their page is that it actually is a historical game, so all the objects and places
are real.
That
was my question.
Real.
I was waiting for you to finish.
Yes.
Like, is this actual art?
So... they say that all the info on the cards is factual about the types of things.
Ooh,
that there
cool.
are
learn something. It's gonna
be a good art
play.
History. That there are 300 unique illustrations, Kevin,
wow.
by Vincent Dutray.
Wow.
And 180 unique artifacts.
Yeah, it's gonna look. I'm looking at some pictures, and the artifacts look really cool. It's not just art, as in like a picture art. It's like they have sculptures and things like that. I know. I almost backed the Rune of Astaroth,
Rising 5.
Rising 5. Almost backed that one. This one, I have to back this one.
So, hopefully there's going to be some more information that comes out as it gets a little closer, but just from their page, their description, the art, it looks like it's a very well put together game. Cool. And looks like the theme and the mechanics could really work well together. So, so check out Museum by Holy Grail Games. Now I think Katie has something.
Yeah, so I'm looking at the game Beneath by Dark Hand Games. I was just looking at this earlier, and it looks like they've got miniatures, and they categorize this as a dungeon crawler, although I can't really see that a whole lot from the game description. So I'm not really sure if they're saying that just because of the theme, because it is all about dwarves. And they're mining.
Okay.
But you're also like battling each other and moving through different boards and maps. And it's kind of interesting because as you're mining, you're like upgrading your weapons. Each option that you have for playing a dwarf, they all have unique player powers, which I think is always very interesting. But it sounds neat because it sounds like there's going to be different boards that are played during the game. So you may have a board that may not be as advantageous for your character. So you may be trying to quickly end the round that has a board that you're not interested in.
To get to the next board,
yeah, which is kind of interesting. So you can, like, trap other players in their mines. You can, like, gain gold, upgrade your equipment. You can find exits to the map. And the whole time you're doing this, you're trying to discover clues about a special gold vein. Yeah, like, because gold comes in veins.
More, right.
Yes. And you're trying to claim the stone throne. And to do that, you need this special vein of gold. So there's, like, clues that are going to be revealed throughout the game that's eventually going to give you the location you need to go to find this. So it sounds like it's got some interesting mechanics that the boards change in the rounds, which I think sounds really interesting. And I don't know, it just sounds pretty unique. Like I said, I'm not sure it sounds like a dungeon crawler, so, and I know there's dice involved in this game, and I'm not sure how that works yet.
The roll and move!
Yeah, I don't know. So it actually sounds pretty interesting.
Sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, and that is Beneath by Dark Hand Games. Over to Will.
So one of the things that I was going to look at just briefly is a game called Road Warriors, the tabletop touring experience.
Oh.
It's from designers Josh Cooley and David Wilson. It looks like David also did the art on the game. And the art is pretty cool. It's basically the idea that you're a band traveling around, putting on concerts and stuff. So it's got a very
those kind of road
hard
warriors.
Rock vibe to it. Yeah,
yeah.
Kind of like a meedly meedly. I don't have any idea, honestly, how the gameplay works in it. The description is kind of all over the place.
Why are we talking about it?
It looks cool, though. I think the gist of it kind of, to me, looks like it might be a little bit like Pandemic. Like, you've got this big map, and you're moving your tour buses around it, which is kind of cool.
The tour bus does look pretty cool.
It's kind of slick, yeah. And then there's, like, you know, action cards, and there's, like, it looks like concerts, like, break out, and you have to, or, like, fan, I don't know, you have to go there and put on a concert, and there's several winning conditions that you have to achieve in order to actually complete the game, but it looks like you're just moving around a board, playing lots of cards, trying to be strategic in your, you know, locations and stuff, and then trying to be, you know, the baddest rock band in town, so.
Interesting.
I don't know, if you're interested in that.
Yeah, the artwork reminds me of either Rock Band or Guitar Hero, that type of...
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, it definitely has the rock and roll vibe that, you know, in all the pieces.
I wonder if the tour buses are, like, bigger than Ticket to Ride trains or, like...
I was kind of wondering that myself. It's hard to tell what the scale is. It looks similar to that. That would be my guess. Like, somewhere
a little bit bigger.
Train vicinity.
But they are very detailed.
It looks pretty cool. I think it might be interesting. I think it's going to be one of those ones where if you can appreciate the theme, then it's probably something you could be excited about, and then we'll find out if the gameplay has that staying power. But card art looks really cool. The board game looks pretty slick. So, yeah, check out Road Warrior. Sarah, do you got one?
I'm just going to quickly mention Andoria Battlefields. You can check out our podcast. A few weeks back, we talked about that one. It is relaunching on November 14th. So I just thought I'd mention that for anyone who is interested in making sure they get in on the second time around on that one.
All right, let's transition into our next segment and welcome our newest house guest, Kirk Dennison, to the house from Peacekeeper Games. Welcome to the house!
Hey!
All right.
Thanks, Ryan and Katie.
Hey, so tell us a little bit about your game, Gearworks.
Gearworks is a strategy card game that has its origins in a Sudoku type of strategy where you have different placement rules. You put cards into a grid and you need to obey two different rules. There's a column restriction and a row restriction. One is a color-based restriction, columns color-restricted, and then rows are numerical order. And when you place your cards, you're doing a little bit of area control to see who is going to be the last to play cards into the grid. And this is interwoven with a steampunk theme. You are all tinkerers in a workshop fixing a broken clockwork machine, and you're putting different gears into other slots next to other gears, trying to fix these broken portions of the machine, and you get parts and build steampunk contractions with the parts that you earn.
Yeah, we've already played Gearworks, and we really enjoyed playing it, and you're bringing it to Kickstarter. What is the date of your Kickstarter launching? Is it already on Kickstarter?
It'll launch November 14th, so it's just launching tomorrow.
Excellent. And tell us a little bit about the pledge levels. What does someone get if they pledge? What kind of levels can they pledge at? That sort of thing.
Sure. So the base game for Gearworks is $24. You can also get a deluxe version of the game for $29. It has an upgraded plastic insert and a box sleeve. And then there's an add-on for a playmat that's really sweet for $15.
Nice. Now, this isn't your first Kickstarter. You've also done Flag Dash. What did you learn from your previous Kickstarter that you incorporated into this one?
Great question. So Flag Dash was a more it was just our first project, so we did a lot of things just out of passion and not really paying much attention to how things would work out in the long run. For example, we did a smaller box size than we probably should have done. I was pretty narrow-minded as far as thinking I only had one shipping solution to send the box, and since then I've learned that there are lots of other shipping options and you should let the game breathe more. So we made this game box larger and a more appealing size from the get-go.
Yeah, your first Kickstarter is always way bigger than you imagine. We went through that too. So just what got you into making games in the first place?
One day I just decided I was going to make a Capture the Flag board game. And just like that, I started making a prototype 15 minutes later. And here we go. A couple of years later, I'm making all sorts of board games.
We were thinking about this earlier, is that it's really cool that you got into this. But like when you're not actually just making games or like doing Kickstarters, what do you enjoy doing like in your free time? Or is it only games?
In our free time, I am married and have a 16-month-old son, so I like spending a lot of time with my family. And it's a fun season to see our son get into everything. We also like playing a lot of board games and watching football sometimes.
Well, I was going to say, well, this board game, you know, designers are just normal people too.
Well, extraordinarily
people, yes. So what is something that, some advice, if you were going to give somebody advice on doing their first Kickstarter, bringing their first board game, what are some things that you would just tell them about doing a Kickstarter and bringing it? What would you say to them?
I would try to find people that are not afraid to give you a candid opinion of what you're doing. I think that it's really easy to have a very high opinion of your game, your art, and everything about it, and you really need people that will challenge you, even if it ends up being the way it is, but make sure that you're really certain that everything is the best possible game that you can make it. In particular, I would say know your strengths. So in particular, I think that I am weaker in art, and I have ideas and think that things look great. And then I have a couple people I turn to and they tell me, no, that's really not a good idea. You should change that. And I didn't do that as much with my first game. And I've done that a lot more with some other games we're working on. And that's been really helpful for us.
Well, looking at the art on Gearworks, we really enjoyed it. I especially loved the, it looks like these neat, like, drafted drawings of the different goals that you're having to build these things. I got to do, like, a grappling hook thing and...
Yeah, I had some sort of robot, which looked
pretty cool. Yeah, I was gonna say, and I got to do jetpacks, and I was so excited. I was like, these are exciting things to try to build, and I thought the art was really cool on there and stuff.
Okay, so you talked about being candid. So here is, I've never asked a question like this before. What question do you think we should have asked you? If you were interviewing yourself, what would you ask yourself?
As far as a candid question that you would ask me?
Sure.
I would say probably something related to, are you planning to quit your day job, or how much money are you invested into your game? Something like that.
So, Kirk, are you planning to quit your day job? How much money have you invested?
Not currently. Game design and game publishing is a difficult nut to crack as far as paying for the bills. Maybe down the road if games really take off, though.
Well, thank you so much for your time. Again, your game Gearworks is coming to Kickstarter on the 14th, so tomorrow.
Correct.
Yes. And it was just a real pleasure to get to talk to you and ask you some questions, and we hope to see you again. Thanks
Great.
So much.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Bye.
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 It was really cool talking to Kirk. Always fun. We got to meet him in person. I think it was at Gen Con? Origins.
The other year.
And then I saw him at Gen Con. Okay. And his wife.
Yeah, yeah. So we've run into them a couple times. Very cool people. Speaking of conventions, though, normally we would be going to MACE.
Up in North Carolina, when this airs,
like next week or something. Mm-hmm. We've been at that the last couple years, which has been a lot of fun. We're not going to be there this time around.
But that's
very
sad. That's
okay. But
we're doing cool stuff, though.
Yeah.
Greenville has a place called the Roper Mountain Science Center.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Very cool place. I learned a lot of interesting things there that I did not know.
And some things that are secret.
Yeah, crazy secrets, which we'll talk about in a second because everybody's looking at me weird. But yeah. we're going to be there this weekend because they're having a maker's market, and they invited Tantrum House. They want to have us there to kind of show off the Kickstarter process, the media making process. So we're going to be doing, like, live. We're going to do like some live reviews and shoot them there.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do some playthroughs of our game. I think we're working with a local student. Roman has been developing a game for a class that he's taken. He's going to bring the prototype that he's working on, which should be pretty slick.
High school student.
Yeah, yeah. So lots of fun there. I think that'll be a really cool experience this weekend.
Yeah. Giving back to the community.
Yeah, that's right. And so it should be fun. So we're looking forward to being there. I think there's also, like, isn't it PAX Unplugged going on
this
weekend?
PAX Unplugged. There's Mercy Mason. And then there's the big one.
Yeah.
BGGCon.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry we can't be there, guys. All our friends will be there.
I know.
Play a game for us.
Yeah, I hope you guys are having a blast. We got to schedule this out differently next year so that we can split ways or something and make
some
of these. Go back for just a second to the Roper Mount thing, though, because that was so bizarre.
Oh, man. So Will and I...
Secrets of the Universe? Yes. I don't know.
Yes. Yes. So they showed us around the Science Center. It's pretty cool. It's got, like, just think, like, field trippy,
yes,
field trip.
I've been there on field
trips.
Yes, like
field trip, go and see
time.
Science cool things. And they're like, hey, did you know this was, like, there's a section here that was, like, built from the same guy that designed
two-second demo. We're walking outside, and there's, like, the most bizarre cement structure
and
I've ever seen.
And I go...
Yeah.
I go, what's this wall here? And they're like, you know the Epcot Center in Disney World? I'm like, yeah. Well, the same guy that designed that designed...
A cube
structure.
Same thing. Like, the... I don't know what that word is, but, like, the tessellation of that shape that the Epcot Center is?
Good
job, smart people.
Thank you. Say that one more time, louder.
I didn't say it right. The...
Geodescent?
Yes.
Okay.
That word.
Yes.
They used to have a cube one in Greenville.
at the River Mountain Science Center.
On top of a mountain.
It was, and you see the foundation of it still at River Mountain Science Center, and they're like, do you want to go, like, in the secret underground tunnel?
The hatch?
What was it for?
I don't even know. We didn't get the full story.
There's probably some sort of alien testing center there.
No,
they found aliens, and they've been testing them there.
They wanted to show off cool things in Greenville. It's supposed to be the new up-and-coming
science center.
This was 1970s, and they said it actually is like a time capsule down underneath.
What?
Well, yes. they built it, and then she said the architect, I don't know if the land settled or what, but it didn't fit together perfectly.
Yeah, at the very top, so it was cube. At the very top, there's that diamond-ish part.
Side of the cube.
And it didn't fit, so they opened this up. And the first week, it rained.
Oh, no.
And everything started just being destroyed inside.
Everything. Oh,
and the foundation. And so I guess
that might have been poor planning.
I guess
the weather report.
I hope
first.
Epcot doesn't happen.
Check your architecture. I don't know. But they tore it down. But they left the foundation. And then, as part of the foundation, there are underground rooms that are secret offices. They have it all fenced off. So the guy was giving us the tour, and he was like, "Let me just sneak through this fence."
What?
It was really. They do zombie.
They're not gonna come find you now and you down for telling their secrets.
Yeah,
maybe.
They have some zombie runs and things like that.
Yeah.
That they have.
Yeah.
Games.
They do it there.
They do a haunted thing.
Oh, he said they just moved everybody out just overnight basically, and he said there's still paper towels in the dispensers and just really creepy. It was
that
the weirdest thing.
That sounds so bizarre.
Yeah, 30, 40
and
years ago.
A great place for zombie stuff.
Exactly. So perfect.
Wow. Anyway, we're going there.
Yeah, we'll try to give you guys the tour when we get there.
Instead of being at BGGCon or PAX Unplugged,
we're going in the hatch from Lost.
Right.
Yes,
the hatch from Lost.
It was crazy. That was quite.
Spoilers alert.
Yeah, I didn't know that was coming. That was a weird experience. So I think we're done-ish.
Let's do one thing.
Yeah. Well, should we do one? We got to get our game in, right?
And do our couples collision.
Are you guys ready, Ryan and Katie?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Let's
do it. All right.
Let's do it.
They've got their pens. They were ready. They came prepared this time. They've been syncing their mind thoughts for a week.
We're coming back. We're making a comeback on this one.
I want to apologize in advance. There's no way you can do that.
What?
These are hard questions.
Will is notoriously bad about being super vague.
Yes. You're
he doesn't
qualify
any of his questions enough to make a good answer.
I think some of these are nearly impossible. And
you're giving us
multiple choice on some of them? On a couple, yeah.
Okay.
And I give you permission to be really mean to us later.
All right.
Okay, so we're picking Ryan's brain this time. Ryan has the answers. Ready to go. Okay, here we go. Whew. No multiple choice on this first one. Just straight out the gate hardness.
But I
Ryan,
do know the answer, so maybe
do you?
Katie
oh,
does too.
Okay, well, if you do, then maybe. What board game got you into the hobby?
Oh, I do know this.
Oh, okay.
Whew. All right.
I feel less mean. All right, good.
Maybe I should get Sarah to, sign language, tell me what she thinks it is, just
is
so
Kevin
I can confirm.
Is not to? Okay, ready?
Oh no, I may be saying this wrong. Now I'm not sure I know the exact title.
Okay.
Okay.
Next question. Star Wars or Firefly?
Oh boy.
Look at his shirt, Katie.
Ryan happens to be wearing a Star Wars shirt right now.
I think that has to do with the fact that there are not many Firefly shirts.
That's true.
Although Ryan has two.
Okay, well let's not confuse Katie. Let's not confuse Katie.
Okay.
I know. At least I.
Did you write something down?
Okay, here's an easy one. I'll throw it low ball. Cosplay, RPG, or LARPing?
Oh my goodness.
Really? I thought that would be easy.
Well, I can rule out LARPing.
You don't LARP, Ryan?
Oh, Ryan's a great LARPer.
No, he's shaking
your
his head.
Reactions here. Is your voice missing tonight? What's
we are. I've often thought maybe LARPing would be fun, but then I'm like, nah, maybe not.
All right, write your answer down.
Wait a minute, okay.
She's having fun talking about
okay.
it.
I am. Sorry.
Here's a totally vague one. Ready? D6, D10, or D20? She seemed confident on that.
I think these are hard ones.
What about D8 and D12? And
I can only give so many options. I mean, I could give all of them.
He doesn't know the other ones.
D100.
I should be asking these questions.
We have one of those at home.
Next question.
That's right.
GM or DM?
Ooh. That one is hard.
Don't look. No looking.
I'm not looking. looking. I'm not looking.
No peeking.
I probably should have rechecked these questions before I asked them.
We have seven.
This next
questions.
One is also nearly impossible.
Okay.
I need to bring up the
Ryan. Thing. What do you consider your arch nemesis?
What?
What or who?
Yeah, is that who?
I'm going with what. I've heard Ryan make this statement before, so this
really?
Is why. But it may have been two or three different things that he said.
Oh my
about.
Goodness.
Well, arch nemesis changes depending on what's happened that day.
Okay. Let's just get a good one. I want a good one.
This is going to be a good one.
How many questions are we on? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Nemesis.
Oh, I have two left.
Well,
there are two left.
So this
what
is just a bonus.
Right now? I like because of what is happening.
Now
we
have eight questions. Okay. So the arch nemesis is a bonus.
We'll give you a bonus.
Okay. Awesome. Okay. Right.
I don't know that any of them get easier after this, but
that's okay.
I still haven't written anything down.
He's invincible. All right. I love it.
Why don't you tell us while Brian's thinking?
The next question.
At guild.tantrumhouse.com.
Guild.tantrumhouse.com.
What arch nemesis? Is your personal arch nemesis?
Ooh, I like that. Can we post a forum on that or something?
Sure, we can do a forum. We actually have another forum that Melissa posted today or yesterday.
Which would have been one week ago.
Yeah. What was that about? You don't remember?
The secret forum post.
I did post. Oh, it's about the throwdowns on Board Game Breakfast. Yeah. What games?
Do you
they
want
think
to throw down?
We should throw down.
Okay. Ooh, I like
have
that
you
idea.
No,
cool. I can't wait to see those. All right, he's invincible. Good. All right, so we'll move on. I'm glad I wrote a next one. Least favorite, is it bluffing, secret identity, or bidding?
Ooh.
Say those again.
Least favorite board game mechanic.
Least favorite.
Bluffing, secret identity, or bidding. It's a trick question because Ryan doesn't like any of these. Which one is your least favorite?
I feel like you didn't actually list his least favorite.
Oh, really?
Identity?
If you can write a different answer that Ryan also matches.
Okay, I won't say what I was going to say.
Tile placement, worker placement.
Well, there are two or three other options that it could be, I guess, now that I think of it. Okay, final question.
Okay.
Playmat, game board, or nothing? I try to make it sound like an in-depth, intelligent question.
Okay.
Random joke I made up.
All right, okay. So one of those is a bonus, but...
Good, because I think neither of us wrote anything for Arch Nemesis.
That was the same?
Oh,
okay. We're good.
I did.
Okay, good.
Eventually. Oh, man.
Okay, wait. Katie's going to write something real quick.
Arch Nemesis.
Think of something. What has he said?
You think while he reveals his answers to us. Okay. What board game, Ryan?
But no, Kitty has to answer.
Oh.
Okay, yeah, I gotta say it.
She's writing words. Okay. All right. What board game got you into the hobby?
No, I have to say it first, right?
Okay.
It's
Katie,
me first.
Did Ryan get...
Look at Katie when you're talking to her.
Okay, I'm ready now.
And I feel so bad. It's gonna be one of these. I think it is Race for the Galaxy, but then I was like, oh no, it might be Roll for the Galaxy, but I think it's Race.
Yeah, it's Race for the
Galaxy. Yay!
I played games before that, but... Having that game just out of the blue, I never knew it even existed. I was suddenly like, there's other games out there.
You might like a new game called Alien Artifacts from Portal Games.
I was going to say, we just talked about Race for the Galaxy tonight, so I was like, oh, it's so fresh
maybe
on my mind, and this
out.
Is the answer.
All right.
Good, okay. Let's see. All right. Star Wars or Firefly?
Star Wars.
Oh no!
You're supposed to let Katie answer.
She keeps looking at her.
He was looking. You were looking at the wrong person.
Look
at
Katie. The reaction was so great. That's all we did. I would have guessed Firefly too. Wow.
I went with Firefly because we're doing a board game podcast. If we were gonna go with just like universe, it would be Star Wars all day. But
interesting. I feel like there's more Star Wars happening. Is that part of it? Like there's...
I think Firefly was so good, but it just left so many... It left a hole. And I didn't appreciate that. It needed to be finished properly.
Maybe someday.
Yeah.
All right.
So, wounds there.
Katie, this time, cosplay, RPG, or LARPing?
RPG.
RPG.
Yeah! Yay!
Good job.
I'm the one that enjoys cosplay.
I know.
And I just kind of force Ryan to join me.
Thank you, Bango.
Good job.
Wait, who were you, Francesco?
No, Frida Kahlo. Katie went as Halloween.
That was
a great costume.
Oh yeah, we talked about the surprise on that. I was surprised and impressed. It was a very similar likeness.
Yeah, Kevin couldn't look at me like all night. All night. It's the
eyebrows
unibrow,
and the mustache were intense, but
unibrow.
So accurate.
It was the unibrow. All right, continue on.
D6, D10, D8, D12, D100, D20.
Those were not all options, but it's D20.
D20.
Yay!
Totally D20.
GM.
I have 7 of them right now.
I see that. Yeah. Put those to good use later. GM or DM?
I went with GM.
I went with GM too.
Good job. Okay,
good, good.
Mostly because I think that's what he references.
Tell us the difference between those two in your mind.
Well,
one's a car company. Oh,
okay. No, DM is Dungeon Master and GM is Game Master. So Game Master is a broad term. And so.
Yeah, it's like squares and rectangles. You know, a DM is a GM, but a GM is not necessarily a DM.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, we're glad we got that.
Meta. Love it. All right, should we save Arch Nemesis for last or should we bust that out right
let's
now?
Let's do Arch.
Yeah, do it last.
All right. Least favorite, bluffing, secret identity, or bidding? Katie.
All right. I actually put social deduction.
Oh, okay. That Sarah actually suggested
that
earlier.
That's what I was going to have as a question.
I put bluffing.
Oh, Ryan!
The secret identity has bluffing in it, and that's why I hate secret identity. Oh. If I didn't have to bluff, then I'd probably like secret identity.
What?
Okay.
All right. Question number 7.
Playmat, game board, or nothing, Katie?
Board.
Went with playmat.
Right.
Oh.
It was kind of a toss up.
It is. That was a weird question.
I feel like you can
You're
do more with playmat.
You're answering these wrong.
Right, okay, let's find out about that arc.
Wait, what's your arc nemesis, Katie?
I was gonna say social skills.
Yeah, I put social.
With the bonus point.
Hey, 5 out of 7, 8.
5 out of 7, 8. What?
Well, we're saying it's a bonus, so five out of 7, 8.
Oh, come on! That's got to be worth way more than just 1 point.
That was out of the blue; like they both wrote the same thing.
Yeah.
Ryan, one of my favorite things is when we're in some crazy situation,
5.5.
And Ryan says the most hilarious thing ever, and then he apologizes with, "My arch nemesis is social interaction." I love it. It cracks me up every time. So good. All right, so we do have one other thing that we need to do before we roll out, though, and that is talk about how to win the prize.
Oh, yeah, we have a game to give away.
Yeah.
Kirk with Peacekeeper Games is so generous and allowing to give one copy of Flag Dash, woo-hoo, their former game, to a lucky winner. So here's how you have a chance to win. What you need to do is email us at hello@tantrumhouse.com.
That's hello. It.
Do we have to echo that?
tantrumhouse.com.
hello@tantrumhouse.com. And give us your name and your mailing address. And we will put your name in for a chance to win a copy of Flag Dash. Now, the rules are you have to give us that email by Sunday. A Sunday soon.
Preferably
Sunday,
1 week out.
Sunday, November 13th.
Time travel is so hard. I'm sorry. So this episode is going to go live the 13th. So you have until Sunday the 19th.
So send us an email, and then November we will 19th. Do a drawing probably on air live. We'll close the competition at that point, take all those names, we'll do a little dice rolling action, and then we'll announce a winner.
Awesome.
Should be lots of fun. Thank you guys for tuning in. I hope you had a great time. We had a blast, and we will see you next week.
Yeah,
bye.
Guild.tantrumhouse.com.
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard. Thank you.